And is that once again, immigrants proved that we are here not only to build up the city prior to the storm, but during the storm and after the storm. There's a massive influx of workers coming in and making Houston and rebuilding Houston and putting back into Houston so much of what has been given to them. So contributions are endless, and we hope that we no longer are overlooked in this process of recovery.
Brian Parrish, 10 seconds.
Immigrants make Houston stronger. Unions make Houston stronger. People like Dr. Bullard, Hilton Kelly, Juan Parras, Patricia Gonzalez. So many folks make Houston stronger. Yeah.
Well, I want to thank so much for you all giving us this six-month review. Brian Parrish, organizer with Sierra Club's Beyond Dirty Fuels campaign, co-founder of board member of Tejas, Texas Environmental Justice Advocacy Services. Cesar Espinosa, executive director of FIAL, a Houston-based nonprofit that helps undocumented members of the city's Latino community. Dr. Robert Bullard, distinguished professor at Texas Southern University, known as the father of environmental justice. And thanks so much to Hilton Kelly, environmental justice activist. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez.
Cable is building a city of media makers. We believe that strong, resilient communities know how to make their own media. For 50 years, Cable has trained thousands of people how to make radio. We know that with our expertise and your support, we can keep the city activated and aware through radio we make together. Invest in future media makers and join us on Kickstarter today.
Join us on Kickstarter today. Go to kboo.fm/Kickstarter. Donate to the campaign and share it with your friends. And thank you for your support of KBOO.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the 28th Annual Cascade Festival of African Films from February 2nd through March 3rd. The Cascade Festival of African Films shows us Africa through the eyes of Africans, rather than a vision of Africa packaged for Western viewers. The films represent different countries and cultures and a range of lifestyles from pre-colonial to modern times, including both rural and urban settings. Films include 76 and the Footprints of Pan-Africanism and more at the Hollywood Theater, and The African Who Wanted to Fly, Foreign Bodies, Wulu, and many more at the Moriarty Arts and Humanities Building, Room 104 at the PCC Cascade Campus, 705 North Killingsworth Street in Portland. Again, that's the 28th Annual Cascade Festival of African Films from February 2nd through March 3rd. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. The Finance Committee was rescheduled to Thursday, March 1st at 4:30 p.m.
When radio got taken over by advertising, people in Portland decided to do it themselves, and in 1968, they created a space that was free from advertisers and independent from corporate or mainstream media interests, KBOO Community Radio. This is the very essence of DIY culture. KBOO was here in the 70s as people were taking back music spaces, in the 80s when artists were taking back music distribution, and in the 90s supporting zine and small press revolutions and all of the movements of self-expression. Help us build a city of artistic media makers. Long live DIY radio and join us on Kickstarter today.
Go to kboo.fm/Kickstarter. Donate to the campaign and share it with your friends. And thank you for your support of KBOO.
This is Jeremy Scahill, author of Dirty Wars, and you're listening to KBOO, Portland, 90.7 FM.
Thank you. You are listening to KBOO FM, your community radio station. Today is Monday, February 26, 2018, and this is More Talk Radio. Let me remind you that you are listening to us via 90.7 in the Portland area, 91.9 in Hood River, and 104.3 in Corvallis, Albany, and over the World Wide Web, it is kboo.fm. And again, this is your community radio station. I'm Cecil Prescott, and this is More Talk Radio. The challenge and the joy of doing live radio, it is because it is live. It's sort of like flying. Driving without your seat belts, or perhaps flying on automatic pilot. You just don't know what may or may not happen. Hopefully, we will be joined by our guests who will give us some information on this last week of the Cascade African Film Festival, which is a film festival which has been showing in Portland at PCC, Portland Community College, for 28 years. It is, in fact, the longest running African film festival in the United States, and that's an amazing record and a testimony of fortitude, of foresight, and of commitment of many, many, many peoples. If you have had the opportunity to watch some of the films this year, why don't you give us a phone call here at 503-231-8187 and share the films that you have watched and that you have enjoyed, and we will be able to share some conversation about that. Last week, as many of you who were able to listen, we talked about another film festival in Portland. Is just a place where there are a lot of people interested in films. And last week we talked about the Portland Black Film Festival, and also if you happen to engage to watch any of those films this month, also give us a call and see your thoughts and insights about that. This weekend, Joe Morton, actor, director, was at the Hollywood Theater, who talked about A Brother from Another Planet, which was a film that was filmed, I believe, in 1984. It would be it was a coming of age picture for many, but it was also about what was it like for a person from another planet, literally, to enter into our world. And Joe Morton, who starred in that, was the guest of the Portland Black Film Festival. This coming week at the Portland Cascade African Film Festival, I think I have that correct. It's the last week. It has been showing for the month of February. And as I think a great tradition, the last week is on women filmmakers and women's film. The first week, March, not the first week, the month of March is often dedicated to women History Month, and so it is appropriate, I think, for the last week of the African Film Festival to be dedicated to women filmmakers. So if you are interested in finding out more about that, go to their website and you can find out more about the films that will be showing, I believe, starting on Thursday. Go to africanfilmfestival.org and you'll be able to see a listing of films that will be shown this week. Among those are Borders, from Burkina Faso, Foreign Body from Tunisia, the wedding ring from Niger, and Zainab hates the snow from Tunisia, Canada, and that will be some of the listing. And finally, my co-pilot has arrived, and we'll give them chance to sit and get comfortable, and we'll talk more because I think our guests can give us a great insight into this. And joining us today is Tracy Cameron Francis. And Tracy is a theater and film director, first generation Egyptian American film director, and you are the director or the...
Yeah, I'm the lead coordinator of the festival. Mm-hmm. So I've been with the festival, it's my third festival now.
Wow.
Yes.
How did you get connected to the film festival?
I just applied for the job because I'm very interested in cultural connection and using film and the arts to engage people and have them learn about new cultures and to create kind of community through that.
Mm-hmm. So, excellent. Yeah. So this is the third year you've been mm-hmm. involved. And tell us a little bit about the history and the mission of this film festival.
Yeah, well, our mission is to show Africa through the eyes of Africans. So we make a very strong effort to show films by African directors, not films that are created for Western viewers or by European or American directors going there and creating their own narrative of African stories. So we want to tell African narratives through the eyes of Africans. And as I was running over here, yeah. I said, you already mentioned that we are the longest running African film festival in the U.S., continuously running.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That legacy. So tell us, and for those of us who are unfamiliar with how film festivals work, how are films selected? Do your committee all get in a room and just lock the doors and then decide which films are?
That's part of it. Well, we have a couple different processes with our festival. We have an open submission call, and we definitely encourage newer filmmakers and younger filmmakers to submit short films and submit other films. Then we also go to other festivals throughout the year and look for films and meet filmmakers. So I'll be going to Luxor Interfilm Festival right after our festival in Egypt to scout for films and meet filmmakers. And then we kind of curate down a list of maybe 100 something, and then our film committee gets in the room and we watch all the films, and then we have lots and lots of discussions and trying to find the most, you know, a program that's going to show a lot of different countries, a lot of different genres, a lot of different perspectives. And so our audience in Portland has the largest kind of broad perspective and a lot of different viewpoints during the festival.
In terms of selecting films, are there themes for each year or for each? I know this week it's women filmmakers, mm-hmm. but are there general themes for during the weeks, the various weeks, or?
Sometimes. So we have a Thursday documentary series. So uh-huh. that's every Thursday we show a documentary, and it kind of depends on, in terms of themes, what the filmmakers are making that year. This year, we happen to have a lot of films dealing with refugees and immigration, because that is a topic a lot of people are dealing with around the world and in the U.S. And so we also felt that was important to bring a lot of those films to the Portland community, to have those conversations. Last week, on Saturday night, we had a film from South Africa that was written by a homeless writers collective. And it was their kind of, it was a fictional account, but based on their true stories. And we had a great discussion afterward with Right to Survive about homelessness issues here in Portland and houseless issues here. And so I try to also tie in local issues and things that are happening with the immigrant communities here and with the Portland community as well, just to make those connections of what's going on, you know, across the world and what's happening here in Portland locally.
Excellent. And maybe we should give a little information about the film festival, what's coming up this week, where it is, and how much is it costs and things like that?
Well, it costs $0.
Wow.
It is completely free, and it always has been. Anyone can come. Nothing costs any money. We love donations, but they're not necessary. We have one more week left of our five-week festival, so this week is one of my favorite weeks. It's Women Filmmakers Week, where we're really highlighting female directors. And I think this started long ago in the festival when there weren't a lot of women being encouraged to direct films in Africa. But now there are so many, they far exceed our Women Filmmaker Week. But we still have a week to kind of highlight and really draw us particular attention to the great work they're doing. So this Thursday, we have a really interesting documentary that almost feels like a narrative called Zainab Hates the Snow from Tunisia. And the filmmaker kind of lived and stayed with this family for 5 years while they immigrated from Tunisia to Canada. Mm-hmm. And so you see that, and it kind of follows the young girl as she grows up. And so you see how the immigration has affected her as she's matured. And it's just a really beautiful coming of age and also immigration story to bring in. And then Friday, we have another fantastic film called Borders from Burkina Faso. And that one is kind of a road trip movie.
Yeah.
Not as fun as, you know, you think, but it's different women and the different things they encounter crossing borders, traveling as women traveling alone, and the kind of camaraderie they form and the challenges they face. And then Saturday, we have two films. We have at 2 o'clock, we have Foreign Body from Tunisia, which is another film about a young woman who has immigrated to France and the challenges she's facing culturally and with her family. And then our closing night film is The Wedding Ring from Niger. And that's a really lovely romantic film, also dealing with some issues of immigration because the young woman had been studying in Europe and in the city and goes back to the village she is from, and faces some kind of cultural challenges and also romantic challenges. But yeah.
Excellent, excellent.
One of the things that's most notable about this particular year's crop of movies is what I call diaspora redo, because you're talking a lot about crossing borders, about people who have left African countries and are talking about life in their new home from their perspective, or coming back and reflecting on what it's like to be home again. What is it about this consciousness of home away from home? That was that a deliberate effort, or was that kind of like accidentally fell into place? And well, we're going to be serendipitous about it. We're going to act like we planned this all along, or at least ride like we're planning it.
A little bit of both.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I did want to focus a bit on immigration and those kind of diaspora issues this year, just because I feel like they're so forefront in my mind and in a lot of people's minds. Mm-hmm. What's going on. And there happen to also be so many great films dealing with those issues.
Well, there's a lot of upheaval nowadays. Everybody is moving for lots of reasons.
Yes.
Some of them good, some of them bad. And so I figured because of the selections, you were trying to get all the different dimensions of it too.
Yeah, we have, so like with our immigration, we have, you know, we have this really uplifting one we had a couple weeks ago, The African Who Wanted to Fly, which is a really successful immigration story, which you don't hear a lot of those. They're always kind of the sadder ones, but that was a very successful one. He moved to China, became a kung fu star, went back to his country, taught. It was just a really lovely one. Then we had, you know, our centerpiece film this year was A Season in France. And that one was, you know, looking at refugees going to France and having to deal with the asylum process there. And it was a less successful story, but it showed those challenges that people are facing every day right now. And that's very topical, I feel. And then we also had A Stray, which showed the challenges of a young Somalian boy in the U.S. And the challenges he was facing growing up as a young immigrant there.
There are some countries that are in the news a lot because they're having various challenges or because they're having some successes. But are there any countries that you have not normally heard from in film festivals that you were able to snag some movies from?
Actually, yeah, the film I was just talking about, The African Who Wanted to Fly, was from Gabon. And I, you know, we don't see a lot of films coming out of Gabon. So that was also an interesting, fun thing. But I always am excited to see films from countries where we don't see a lot of output from. Like, we see a lot of films from, like, South Africa or Egypt or North Africa. But, like, Burkina Faso, we don't see a ton of films from. So I'm excited for our film on Friday. And then we actually had another short film from Tanzania from a really great young filmmaker, because I love to encourage the young filmmakers, especially from underrepresented countries, to keep making films and keep working for them.
Who were some of the youngest, or what was the youngest person you had?
I don't ask their ages.
Well, the only reason I ask is because I want to encourage the younger people who are listening to see that no matter where you're from, no matter what your launching pad, this is a possibility.
I think, some of the filmmakers that I'd met at other festivals, I'm going to guess they were in their early 20s, if not younger. But, you know, they're making shorts, they're applying to grants, they're getting their work submitted to festivals, coming from very little resources sometimes. And they're making it work, and they're making some great, awesome, lovely short films. And I'm excited to see them make longer and longer films. So,
you're listening to KBOO. This is More Talk Radio on Monday, February 26, 2018. We're speaking with Tracy Cameron Francis, curator of the Cascade African Film Festival, which continues or concludes this coming week, beginning of March, on Saturday. And if you're interested, I think most people are able to go because of the price, which is free. And the films will be shown where on the campus?
Yes, they'll be at PCC Cascade Campus in Moriarty 104, which is on the corner of Albina and Killingsworth.
Excellent. You and Celeste talking briefly about, you know, finding newer, younger filmmakers. Do you also, in terms of not only outreach in terms of filmmakers, but in terms of locally, in terms of having younger people, students, either as part of your collective or films that are directed to them, and what type of outreach do you have with communities and schools?
Yeah, so our festival is at PCC Cascade. So one thing we do is we have a student fest every year, which is a film we show during the school day for students, and it's organized by student clubs at PCC, and also this year we've been encouraging PCC students to help with the after film discussions. We had a great PCC student do the after film discussion for our Somalian film Astray the other day, and had another great one do the after film discussion from the documentary from Niger. So our committee is completely open. You guys can join it. Young people can join it. Old people can join it. Anyone can join it.
We've had members of KBOO from join it before, so it's open, people.
Yeah, it's a mostly volunteer organization. We have a lot of fun. Everyone is welcome, and we encourage you to get involved and join us helping to organize the festival.
And what type of outreach or discussion you have with communities from different countries in Africa in terms of either selecting or decision-making about films? Do you get suggestion from various groups about, oh, this is something that we need to see? You say a common theme this year in terms of looking at the migration issues that many people face, and other things that comes up from communities here in Oregon.
Yeah, so we have a lot of people in our committee are from our immigrants themselves from different African countries. And so, like, for example, we had a Senegalese film, Kamitu Shaganta, this year, which was really, the Senegalese community was really excited about it and really wanted us to show it. So so we did, and we also have it in our library collection at PCC, which is also open to the public, so you can go check out a lot of our films for free from PCC Library.
Wow. Excellent.
And what about, I guess I would say artists in residence opportunities, maybe for any of the producers, the directors, people involved in making the films who have come here teaching or being part of a resident program. Do you have that?
Not exactly. We bring we do bring 1 to 3 filmmakers a year. So this year we brought a filmmaker from Nigeria for opening night, and then we brought an Egyptian journalist and comedian the following week. And so while they're if they're here and they have the time, we have them visit schools sometimes and give talks and things like that. So,
well, one of the reasons I ask is because earlier when you were talking about lack of resources, not stopping people. Mother of invention being the operative phrase there. I got to thinking, and it's kind of tangential, but it's not. What were some of the technologies that people used to make movies? Did you find some films coming in on maybe some older technologies, using older technologies to make film? And by older, I mean like, I don't know, 8mm or old telephones, or taking advantage of new technology. Like now in another part of my life, I'm a DJ, and so I listen to music, black music from all around the world, well, artists from all around the world. And there's a form of music that called Kuduro, which came out of both Angola and I think had some connections in South America and in Portuguese communities. And you took traditional tribal music, and the kids mixed it with ringtones from their cell phones. And I'm talking about old cell phones. I'm not talking about these new smartphones necessarily we have. And so I think about how creative people are when they are making art and making life. And so that's why I asked that question, was there are any examples of some really just, I'm going to make this film and nothing's going to stop me, inventiveness?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're talking about like these older technologies. I think these new technologies are actually making it more accessible and less expensive for filmmakers to make films. Like, I've made films on my smartphone before.
Yeah, right.
And I think a lot of younger people with digital stuff, it's so much cheaper and easier to shoot a film, make it look good, to edit it on their computer. It's just so much more accessible for people to do that, and so much cheaper than
using than finding old broken Kodak and trying to make it work and glue it together.
Although our opening night film was shot on actual film because it was set in the 70s. He wanted that kind of look to it. And he was saying that, you know, getting it to get edited was really challenging because the customs in Nigeria wanted to put it through the x-ray and destroy all the film. And so he didn't see any of his footage for I think like 6 months after he shot it. But the movie turned out great.
Good. That's a blessing. Well, that and again, one of the reasons why I ask these questions is I'm a firm believer in life dominating all kinds of circumstances. And the fact that you have people surviving in really just hostile political and social and just physical environments, and then creating art that transcends this, is amazing and wonderful. And we can't celebrate it enough. And so I find it really refreshing to hear some of the backstory sometimes and some of the struggles that the people have, as well as the content and the visual lushness of whatever movie or intricacies of the storytelling. You know, all of those come together to really form this really rich opportunity. And so anything about the people you want to talk backstory, we're all ears. And speaking of ears, you're listening to Your Community Connection, KBOO, Portland, 90.7 here in the metro area, 91.9 if you are in Points East along the Columbia River Gorge. And the valley, it's 104.3. Did I say it right this time?
You said it right. And and we want to let Ani come in and talk about, encourage us, give us some news about this exciting venture we are on here in KBOO.
Well, kick it off, so to speak.
Thank you. Thank you so much for letting me have just a couple minutes this morning to let our listeners know about our Kickstarter campaign. I'm listening to this discussion, and it really just goes really hand in hand with what you're saying right now. with the ability to make film straight from the people, with technology becoming cheaper, and with getting the importance of getting media into people's hands, right? This is what KABU is also about, and this is what our Kickstarter campaign is about. Our Kickstarter campaign is to help us maintain and enhance our training program to do what we are doing and to do it better and more. And you can be an important part of that by going to kboo.fm/Kickstarter and helping us out, supporting KABU. You can also share our Kickstarter campaign around. And please do share it with why KABU is important to you in your social media feeds. It's an important thing to do. We're about halfway to our goal of $20,000. That is super exciting, but we need to build a lot of momentum here in this last, oh gosh, just about 10 days, because we need to reach $20,000. It's an all or nothing deal. And right now is a great time to support that campaign so that we can finish strong and successful. And you know that you're doing your part to continue KABU's free, accessible training programs, getting tools of the media into people's hands just like yours, so that you can actually create quality content through podcasting or through FM broadcasts to talk about your community, to share your artistic endeavors, to share your passion through the airwaves and through our podcasting platform. So please do join us on kboo.fm/Kickstarter today. Right now, take a moment to support that effort. You know, we have incentives. We have a beautiful new commemorative t-shirt that is available through that platform only. And that, again, is KBOO.
Do they have any hoodies?
Yes, actually. Right. There is a level with a hoodie involved. Check it out.
The hoodies are my personal favorite, you know. But, you know, one of the things that I wanted to add, Ani, was the fact that people need to know about our Kickstarter campaign. Now, we have a core family. We know that. But core family, what we need you to do is put our Kickstarter link on your particular webpage, or send it out to your circle of friends through Tumblr or Instagram or Facebook or whatever platform you're using. Send it out. Don't just keep it within a circle. We got to send it out like so many letters and so many bottles, you know. Send it out so that we get the word out far and wide on every conceivable platform there is for connecting with people, so that more and more and more new people who have never heard of KABU or never thought about supporting KABU get that opportunity.
You're absolutely right, because, in fact, we are no longer restricted to the fabulous North Willamette Valley, right? We are worldwide through the internets, and I know that it's exciting to talk to folks. We talked to somebody from Poland a few months ago who was calling in to say that they had found us and they loved us, and we hear from people now and again around the world, but you know that is part of our reach, and you can help us reach even more, as Celeste was saying, by sharing it on all social media platforms, making sure that everyone who is interested in fascinating content that makes the world a better place, be it through information or music, can do that through kboo.fm and can help to support the effort as well. kboo.fm/Kickstarter. Thank you so much for the time this morning, and let's hear more about the African Film Fest.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Ani. And everybody, kick it off.
We're speaking this morning with Tracy Cameron Francis, curator of the Cascade African Film Festival here in Portland. And you mentioned in passing about the opportunity for people might have to go to the library and pick up a film. And I'm thinking of in terms of the that's a service you offer to the community. So are there, there's a lot of films that people can, that you have played at the film festival that people can select and take home and watch?
Yeah, you just go to the PCC library and you can get a community library card. And we have a lot of our movies from the last 28 years there. So you can take them home, have a movie night, show them to your class.
What format?
DVD and Blu-ray mainly. Okay. We actually transferred a lot of our VHSs to DVD a couple of years ago.
Okay.
Excellent. So that's an example of, in terms of a community service. So it's something that lasts beyond the 5 weeks of the festival. And you mentioned earlier that, you know, you're off to another another place to look at some other films for next year's festival. So I'd imagine as if the work goes on beyond March 7th.
Yeah, it's a year-round planning. Yeah, we try to immediately start looking for new films right after this, and then, you know, then we have a lot of movie watching. So again, if you want to join our committee, we and want to watch a lot of movies, everyone's welcome.
Now, is there a limit to how many people can be on the committee? Is there a process to get involved?
Show up to meetings. No.
Okay, so be consistent, show up to meetings, have an interest, and inform mind. What else?
Yeah, we have an executive committee and then a full committee. The full committee, I think, is over 50 people. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, as many more the merrier. And the full committee comes whenever they're available. And then the executive committee meets once a month. So it depends on your availability and your interest, but we're happy to have everybody.
Great. Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. If you'd like to share some thoughts with Tracy, give us a call, and let's go to...
Oh, I think we lost our caller.
Oh, we lost our caller.
Okay, well,
call back again.
Phone number 503-231-8187. Give us a call. Questions about the movies, questions about the people who make the movies, questions about the people who are involved in choosing the movies. You decide, but you call 503-231-8187.
I'm wondering if it's you feel comfortable if we make a little shift to talk from beyond the film festival to you as a filmmaker and share something about how did that evolve? What sparked you to direct and be involved in this sort of media?
Well, I'm primarily a theater director, so I've worked in theater for 15 years, mostly in New York and now Portland a little bit. And then film is something I've gotten to more recently. I've done more media with performance art, so more experimental video with performance, and I've done a few short films. But film is something I'm starting to get into more, but I've primarily done live performance.
I've just always been fascinated by people in the theater. Just what is it that keep people going? And it doesn't, you know, it's not like clocking in and having a regular 9 to 5. And this, it seems like so many things you're balancing at the same time. And what, where do you find energy or inspiration or how do you keep going?
How do you
going?
Keep that synchronicity alive? You know, they're making all those connections too.
I mean, I like performance and film and all these things because it's a way to connect people and it's a way to build community and find connections. And a lot of the theater and the film I do is based on, it's a lot of international work, and I do a lot of collaborations with international artists because I think that's a way to build cultural diplomacy and to build understanding between different groups and cultures. And so that's kind of how I, what inspires me and how I got into it.
Excellent. Well, let's see if we can go to a caller with some ideas or thoughts or questions.
Good morning, April.
Hi. I just wanted to call up and say that I really, really enjoy the Cascade Film Festival, and I've been going for years. My favorite feature-length film so far this year was A Season in France, but I think the most memorable thing I actually did was I went to the one on, I think it was a Saturday, and I saw some play readings in the afternoon over at PCC, and then they had a social, and I bought some Moroccan food, and then they had a bunch of shorts about women, and they were really, really good. My favorite one was one where a girl like found a pair of boxing gloves, and they magically pulled her all over, and it was just a really good, really well-done film. And it seemed like that allowed her to get out of the kind of the life she felt like she was trapped in. And it was a very joyful film. And there was another one about a woman becoming like a jellyfish. I think it really looked a lot at the ways women are kind of trapped in you know, their life and the ways they find freedom. And I felt all the films kind of looked at that, and I really, really enjoyed that. That whole day, it was just a great experience, everything all together.
Oh, well, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, thanks for coming for the whole day.
Well, you get caught in the again that lush fantasy, and Caller April, as you were saying, just the being transported to another place or time or state of mind.
Yeah, I really like all the discussions afterwards too. So I think it really. You know, it's really helpful as far as exploring things in our society that no one really talks about. I mean, both in our country and in other countries, you know, women aren't treated the way they should be.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you for enjoying, and thank you for your call.
Yeah, thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
And we have another caller online.
Good morning, Ross.
Good morning. I have to tell you, my memories of being living in Northeast Portland and living in Portland, I have so many wonderful memories, and many of them are memories of the movies and the travels in the imagination that I had through the African Film Festival over the years. I have a specific question. I've always thought of sharing wanting to share the films with more people, and we have a little neighborhood center over here where I live in Westlawn. I'm wondering what kinds of things would I need to consider if I wanted to check out a movie from your library and show it at my neighborhood association center.
Well, if it's a small group, if it's just a few people, you can just check out the film if you're not charging money. If you're going to do a larger group, you should email us at info@africanfilmfestival.org, and we can actually help you organize and arrange it if you like.
Uh-huh. Okay, so it's perfectly feasible to do that.
Totally feasible, yes.
Let me comment on one of the... I just love the roots of Pan-Africanism that was shown at the Hollywood Theater, I think, a week or so ago.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a fabulous movie, and I was a little bit stunned by the... It was a relatively sparse attendance, and it was such a wonderful movie. Do you have some frustrations around attendance these days? I haven't been able to attend too many films this year.
No, generally, that was a co-sponsor with the Portland Black Film Festival, and it was a Sunday matinee on a nice sunny day, so those are always tricky. But for the most part, most of our evening films are usually full or over full, so we're doing okay there.
Okay, excellent.
Well, congratulations. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ross. And those two callers, I think, expressed the idea of the reach of the film festival. And I'm sure you get feedback from lots of people and, I suppose, surprised and amazed sometimes at the impact that your films have. So thank you.
Well, one of the things that I noted was the really broad selection of venues. And I know a lot of work goes into finding venues in town. And Portland, I've watched it kind of grow and solidify and stabilize. But you've actually had, I think this is one of the broadest distributions of films and places of seeing films that I've seen in a while. Because I was writing, let's see, I know you had Hollywood Theater, there were a couple other places you had as well.
No, mainly we just do the Hollywood Theater and then PCC Cascade. Occasionally throughout the year, we'll have special screenings. Like we had one with the Portland Women's Film Festival last year at the Clinton Street. But for the main festival, that was just the Hollywood and PCC.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Now, have you considered having them at other venues? And one of the reasons I ask that is African Film Festival is for everybody. Because we want everybody, well, Africa's everybody's home anyway. I mean, we'll just say that. But with challenges of gentrification and transportation and what have you, I think a lot of trying to hit other communities, like some of our Latino communities, especially those of African descent, some of our African communities that are further east and outside of Portland. What would it take for you to expand it and have it a little broader placed in town?
I mean, I think right now for the main festival, we're focused kind of, we don't have to keep it kind of focused in one area just for ease, but
yeah.
For throughout the year, like this year we had a screening at the Beaverton Library as part mm-hmm. of their welcome week for new refugees coming to Portland. And so I think right now I'm looking for more outreach kind of things throughout the year, trying to reach other communities.
Oh.
And another way you can help is by volunteering and helping.
Oh, okay. So I can bring my head and my
yes,
ideas. And,
yeah.
Okay. Well, now, if there's somebody like me who thinks that that would be a great way not only to increase global awareness, human awareness, but get involved and have a creative outlet, well, hey, let's go join the PCC Cascade Film Committee. For African films.
And
there's a phone number for that, isn't there?
There is. And you can email us. It's at info@africanfilmfestival.org. And you can also visit our website. It's www.africanfilmfestival.org.
Okay. And I want to also include a phone number because we have some low-tech folks. So I did see it a moment ago here, and I...
here it is. It's
good.
971-722-5711.
Great. So you can get involved. You don't have to bring anything but an open heart, open mind, and some open eyes.
So as you prepare for next year's film festival, are there certain things you are thinking of, the committee thinking of, or... reflecting about what went well this year. What ideas, or do you have any ideas yet for what next year might look like, or is this the season of discerning?
I think I will have a better idea after this after week. Next week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And do you always have the women's filmmakers, is that during the 1 week during the year?
Yes, it's always the last week.
And has that been going on for the whole 28 years?
I can't actually remember the exact time, but it hasn't gone on the entire 28 years, but for almost all of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Well, I assumed that that was kind of like the ideal bulb to go off over your head. That was your particular fanfare because you had a great question.
No, not necessarily a great question.
Hey, take the compliment.
Thank you.
Oh, wow.
Thank you.
Yeah, co-host for all these years. I mean, we joke, we've been co-hosts for longer than some people have been married. And so one of the values of that is being comfortable with helping people express their interest in social outlets, community connections, or what have you. 503-231-8187, and we'll go to our next caller. Good morning, James.
For the lady at the film festival. My question is, so what is your take on, because right now Black Panther is like one of the largest grossing movies ever, and it sports a almost entirely Black cast. Everything about the movie is Black itself. A lot of intellectuals out there, I'd like to point out the Africa History Network on Facebook, primarily because a lot of the information coming out of there is saying that you shouldn't support the film if it's not supporting the Black community, like monetarily wise. And I just wanted to get your take on something like that, because I obviously your film festival is a very community oriented thing, but on a larger scale, I guess, like, what is your take on that sort of money being brought in? Thank you.
I mean, I think it's always good if the money goes back to the artists involved in the project and can be back to the community. I have not seen Black Panther yet because I've been watching our movies.
And the thing about your movies, that they are based by actual African filmmakers,
mm-hmm.
about actual African nations.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's not fictionalized in terms of make-believe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, in the commentary, I'm sorry.
Well, no, I mean, it's important, I think, to make that distinction, because one of the things we're talking about is true life, and it's not that fantasy and whimsy and the fantastical doesn't come out of the mm-hmm. African film experience, mm-hmm. but we're talking about some people sharing elements of real life that the world sometimes doesn't want to see.
Yeah, but interesting to bring in fantasy, because a lot of, I am seeing more and more fantasy and mm-hmm. elements brought in, because that is one way to express reality as
yes.
well, and a way to reflect on it, particularly in countries where there's a lot of censorship and
I
things
was just
like
gonna
that.
Say that.
That is a mm-hmm. creative, I think that actually sometimes breeds more creativity, because people have to find different ways to express their ideas without being really straightforward about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So even though that's a big Hollywood production, I think it helped encourage at least the people to think about what's possible and think in terms of filmmakers. What advice do you have to younger people as they come to the film festival and say, oh, wow, or, you know, seeing something about what's possible to be or to do? What do you say to younger people who are interested in film or theater? How do they begin?
You just begin. You just have to make projects, you know, get training. Portland, you know, there's Open Signal, there's Cable, there's places you can get media training and get free resources and get classes. And, you know, if nothing else, get your phone, borrow a camera, shoot something, write a play, put it up, just start working.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And so it's something that's accessible to anyone at any time. People might think my life isn't interesting, or I don't have a story to tell.
Everybody has a story to tell. You know, everyone has their own unique perspective on the world, and everyone should have an opportunity to express that in whatever medium or way that they want or need to.
Excellent. Yeah. And just want to keep pressing this, because I think it's important, because sometimes people think, not only young people, but people who ordinary or older people think of, you know, life is, what do I have to say? And actually, if you pick up a pen or pick up a camera, there's something there that's meaningful, and that perhaps, if who knows how it will, you know, what communities it will reach, or any communities, but it's important to find your voice.
Yeah, and if you find, you know, as long as you're truly, you know, expressing your own truth and your own voice, people will connect to that. You know, people come to our films and they might be from, you know, a culture they've never heard of or, you know, been a part of, but there's still these human elements, these parts of the stories, because the filmmaker was honestly telling their story that they can connect to and they can relate to. And I think that's kind of the power of expressing yourself through creative means.
Earlier, to make connection to what you stated earlier in terms of people coming to your film and maybe of another culture that they aren't familiar with and making connection, you use a term referring to maybe the work you do, cultural...
Diplomacy,
yeah. Explain that term.
I mean, and I think there's probably a more academic definition,
right.
But for me, it's just using culture, using the arts as a form of diplomacy to kind of, you know, ease tensions, ease conflict, create understanding, and creating empathy. I think particularly through theater and film, you can create empathy with another culture or another group that you might not, you might think you're very different, you might not have ever thought about them, but you can kind of really relate to them and create that sense of connection and empathy, and I think that's really important in our world today.
Mm. And I think that's so important in terms of creating empathy, and I think part of the I don't want to say, well, magical about the theater or about film is that there's the opportunity maybe for a couple of hours, I don't know if it's suspension of belief, but at least entering into an experience that you take your whole self and you receive something back, and I think that's so powerful. So I just want to thank artists like yourself who do this very important work, and continue on, and thank you for what you do and being a part of this. 28 years, that's amazing. I can't imagine those. Well, have you spoken to those who began the film festival 28 years?
And the founders are still very involved and are at all the screenings, and a lot of our committee members have been involved for the full 28 years and are still involved and committed. So it's really lovely to see.
And that's amazing to have that connection, and with those who were there at the beginning. And I imagine the conversation you might have in terms of original thoughts or ideas, what they thought they would be becoming or creating, and seeing it.
Yeah, I mean, at the festival started, I think, just a few films, and now we have, I think, this year, like, almost 24 films, including our shorts, you know. So it's just really grown and sustained itself, which is, I think, really amazing for a free community event to do.
It's amazing. It's a treasure, and thank you. I want you to say again what films are coming up and what people can see beginning Thursday, I believe.
Yes, beginning Thursday. These are all at PCC Cascade Campus. It's our Women Filmmakers Week, sponsored by Mercy Corps. Thursday we have our documentary Zainab Hates the Snow from Tunisia. And it follows a family who's immigrating from Tunisia to Canada over 5 years. The filmmaker lives with them. And you see this young girl growing up and how the immigration experience has changed her as she comes of age. And it's a really lovely documentary. It almost feels like a narrative film. It's just really engaging and lovely. And then on Friday night, we have Borders from Burkina Faso, which follows women traveling on a road trip, traveling across borders, and the challenges they face as women traveling alone and the camaraderie they gain with each other. And then Saturday at 2 p.m., we have a matinee, A Foreign Body from Tunisia, which again looks at the challenges of a young girl who has immigrated to France, and challenges with her family and different cultural challenges. And then our closing night film on Saturday at 7 p.m. is The Wedding Ring from Niger, which is a lovely, romantic, interesting film of a young woman who was educated in the city and comes back to her village. And it's just a really beautifully done, gorgeous film. And if you come at 5 o'clock, we have our Saturday social hour. So we'll have food and music and shopping and time to build community and make new friends.
Excellent. And that's all at the Cascade African Film Festival. Again, if people are interested in finding more about it or becoming volunteers, they can go to
AfricanFilmFestival.org or email us at info@AfricanFilmFestival.org or call us at 971-722-5711.
Thank you so much, Tracy, for joining us this morning. We've been speaking with Tracy Cameron Francis, the curator of the Cascade African Film Festival. Thank you for the work you do. Thank you for your committee. After it's over, I hope you're able to, you know, relax for a little while before you are into your next venture in terms of this project.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
And again, those of you who are interested to find out more, please go to the AfricanFilmFestival.org for information about this week's film. It is Women Film Makers Week on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And you will be delighted that you participated in and, you know, join the committee. Thank you, Tracy, for joining us today.
Thank you.
And coming up this morning at KBOO at 9 is the OMO Variety Hour. They burrow down to the roots of the great issues of our time. At 10 on Locus Focus, Barbara Bernstein talks with activists fighting to resist the proposed Oregon LNG terminal that refuses to die. At 11:30, Voices for the Animals welcome longtime animal activist Matt Roussel about his Beagle Freedom Movement that's working to end animal testing research. and KBOO, KBOO Kickstarter is live. Go to KBOO.fm/Kickstarter and help KBOO build a city of media makers. That's KBOO.fm/Kickstarter. I'm Cecil Prescott. You have been listening to More Talk Radio. We'll see you another time.
Do you have questions about KBOO's Kickstarter campaign? What's the Kickstarter, you ask? We are doing this campaign instead of a membership drive. It's an all-or-nothing campaign, which means if we don't raise the full $20,000 by March 9th, we have to send the donations back. Go to kboo.fm/Kickstarter to donate. We will be having our next Kickstarter live video chat on Thursday, March 1st at noon. So check us out and get all your questions answered at kboo.fm/Kickstarter.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of International Women's Day. Sisters, you keep me fighting. That's on Sunday, March 4th at 4 p.m. at First Congregational United Church of Christ in Portland. The Aurora Chorus honors the strength and beauty of women's lives through the fine art of chorale singing. Aurora was founded on the belief that music can be a powerful instrument of peace, locally, globally, and in the hearts of all who sing and all who listen. This event, their fifth annual International Women's Day celebration, will feature special guest artists Beth Wood and Ara Lee. Again, that's the concert for International Women's Day, Sisters, You Keep Me Fighting, on Sunday, March 4th at 4 p.m. at First Congregational United Church of Christ, 1126 Southwest Park Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Community Radio is radio for the people, by the people. At KBOO, your neighbors, coworkers, and friends make radio so you can be sure that the issues they bring to you are the issues that matter. We believe strong communities invest in sharing knowledge with each other. Every month, KBOO offers free classes in the art of radio broadcasting so Portland can stay informed. Invest in future media makers and join us on Kickstarter today. Go to kboo.fm/Kickstarter. And thank you for your support of KBOO.